Especially Friday. We're getting closer and closer to AFC, NFC Championship weekend. Very excited for it. Tanner on the morning show said he thinks both games are going to be blowouts. Now, I thought a lot of these games were going to be blowouts, but I'm not so sure about this weekend. So we'll get into both of those games coming up throughout the show today. I'll give you my picks later. We got buy or sell in the 1 o'clock hour, top story of the day, all that. Poll question of the day is available for you a couple ways. You can check it out at thewholeshow.com. We've got our poll listed there. What should the Broncos do with the 12th pick in the 2024 draft? It's also on my Twitter account, @WholeShow, and you can vote there. Here are your options. Draft a quarterback. Draft a position of need that's not a quarterback. Try to move up in the draft. Move back and acquire more picks. And listen, I know this week we've talked about Jameis Winston, and if somehow Baker Mayfield becomes a free agent, should the Broncos go after him? I've seen Jacoby Brissett's name in the mix, Sam Darnold's name in the mix, but I'm done with it. I'm just going to stay consistent on this because I've just seen it so much over the years. And I know it's new management, it's new coach, it's all that, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of trying to Baker, is that a sure thing? I mean, he had a good year. He had a nice year for Tampa Bay. But I'm ready to grow with a guy. I'm ready for the Broncos to find their Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. And don't tell me in this day and age that those guys don't grow on trees anymore. Because, Angel, we're looking at it. We're seeing it. There are a lot of marquee quarterbacks in the league right now that I think a lot of franchises feel really good about. Miami feels good about their guy. Depends on who you ask, I guess. For now, Baltimore, obviously, for obvious reasons, for so many obvious reasons, feels good about their guy. The Chiefs feel good about their guy. Detroit feels pretty good about their guy. The Niners, they feel about everything else, and Brock Purdy actually has had a pretty good season. So I would say, is it fair to say San Francisco feels pretty good about their guy? You have the Chargers. They just hired Harbaugh. Justin Herbert, some might say, he's not that great or he's not living up to the hype, but I would say it's safe to say they feel pretty good about their guy. So don't tell me that it's like difficult now. I know when it was Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Rodgers and Breeze, it was like those guys, and then finding the other franchise quarterbacks, it was difficult. But in this day and age, man, we're seeing it. Maybe some guys aren't living up to their potential. Dak Prescott's not getting them over the hump in the playoffs. But they're not necessarily the problem for these franchises. So I'm ready for the Broncos to go try to find that guy. They drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round. And then before that, Josh McDaniels drafted Tim Tebow with his second first-round pick behind shortly after Demaryius Thomas. That's what we're going off of here. You didn't draft any conventional guys. Tebow obviously wasn't a conventional first-round pick. And Paxton Lynch was a gamble. He's a late first-round pick, and Denver liked the size there. But then after that, Elway strayed away from it. And, of course, we haven't seen it since. Now, they took Drew Locke in the second round, and it was like their third pick. But I'm ready for this team to give it a shot. Does that guarantee that they draft a Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels, if those guys are available, does that guarantee that that fixes the problem and the Broncos are now, for the next, 7 years, are going to be back in the mix, back in the thick of things in the AFC West and going to playoffs more often than not, maybe a contender a couple of those years? It doesn't guarantee it, but we've tried everything else. You went that route with Manning and it worked. Since then, you have not been able to capture that. And so I'm saying draft a quarterback, at least at thewholeshow.com. You guys are agreeing with me. We're saying 35% saying draft a quarterback, and then everything else is kind of messy in there as far as move back or draft a position of need. Now, the other idea is that, you just draft a position of need. You go with Jarrett Stidham. likely that's not going to do anything for you. And then you're worse next year than you were this year. And you know what? I'm willing to take a walk with you on that. I'm willing to sacrifice a season to see if this team can get the quarterback that they really want. But who is that guy? Like, who's the biggest name next year, Angel? Shedeur Sanders is the main one we keep hearing. Who else? There's not, like, this class, at least four or five guys we could all realistically see being franchise quarterbacks. Some are a little bit more of a risk. Bo Nix is probably more of a risk. J.J. McCarthy's more of a risk. Michael Penix Jr. is probably a little bit of a risk. Not the talent, but the injury and the longevity and everything there. But the talent would be there.
Would you wait on a Shedeur Sanders?
Ooh, that one's a tricky concept, isn't it? I mean, when you if you drafted Shedeur Sanders, does that become, and I'm just asking, does that become like a Lance Ball type situation? Not Lance Ball. The Balls. Lamar. Does that become that kind of situation? Which that died down. That went away.
It did, because only, I'd say, one of the three Ball brothers has
Ball boys
really emerged.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, LaMelo isn't, you know, he's not all there as an all-star or anything.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Shedeur, you bring in the, as we talked with CU, you're going to get the primetime fans. You're going to get the fan base that
thinks
he can do no wrong.
You're going to get
that, you know, you're going to get the hype about him. You're going to get the, you know, if you want to make sure that Deion stays at CU, you probably draft his son into the Denver team.
Which I don't think Sean Payton's worried about, but if you thought the Tim Tebow, and you weren't really you were kind of following the Broncos at that time.
It was enough to get my attention.
The fan base was divided, where it was almost like it was weird because the Tebow fans were pretty aggressive, I thought. But and that's not to say the anti-Tebow fans weren't aggressive either. It's just if you're a Tebow fan, you're probably a fan of his beliefs and the person that he is, so maybe you're not as aggressive, but that's just me. That was like, I've been a Bronco fan my whole life. That was the most divided I've ever seen a fan base. You don't think that the Shedeur Sanders thing, if he struggles, if he has up and down games, and some fans are like, I don't know if he's the answer, then you suddenly just committed a crime on Twitter by doing that because you're going to get his following. You're going to get the primetime following. And now, does that matter if he's out winning games? No. But I need to see more from Shedeur Sanders. What does he do with the real offensive line? And he's going to have to answer that test next year.
Would you wait on a Quinn Ewers?
I've heard that name come up a little bit. But do you feel better about a guy like that or any other potential quarterbacks coming up in this draft, next year's draft, than you do about the first five in this draft?
It's weird because I think obviously Caleb Williams is the number one guy. I guess Drake May is good, but he's not like a big flashy name out there.
But some people you ask would say he's the prime candidate.
I'm not a huge fan of Jaden Daniels' game. I think his size is a little strange. He could be a Lamar Jackson type in terms of that electricity, in terms of how he plays. Penix is solid. I think he's probably one of the more pro-ready quarterbacks, but the injury concerns.
And he played college football for 7,000 years.
Yes. Bo Nix, I think he's a guy you could build around, but I think he's still a year. He would need a year or half a year on the bench to settle into it.
Which could be fine. You could have your cake and eat it too here. You could get a quarterback and then tank next year and then draft another guy to help him out. You know, you could Bo Nix probably obviously not a very first round type quarterback. Quinn Ewers, what year is he out of Texas?
He's like an eighth year senior.
So he's just another one of these guys that have just been in the college football
but
world for so long.
Relatively healthy.
Yeah.
Most of
and he's
career.
Good.
He is good.
He is very good.
What about a Jalen Milroe?
That's another one. That's
he's
another
a guy
name.
That I think could very much increase his stock with a new style of offense that Bama's going to look to have. Other guy, I'm just looking at the early rankings here. Drew Aller from Penn State. Connor Wegman from Texas A&M. Carson Beck out of Georgia. Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami or Dylan Gabriel out of Oklahoma.
How strong do you think that class will be after next year compared to this class?
Well, considering they have Shador at number one, I think it's really early. I still think Shador has some limitations to his game.
I do too. And well, listen, we got to see what he does with an updated offensive line. That's what we're told that was the issue, and it was. I will admit that was the number one issue for Shador Sanders was that offensive line was bad. It was really hard to go through your progressions, and so we didn't get to see the full, I think, Shador effect. So to be fair, he could be a lot better, but the fact that he's number one of that group that you just listed means that it's a weaker class, because there was talk 8, 9, 10 weeks ago that Shador would go into the draft and that he would be. I mean, Angel, the first 3 weeks of the season, weren't we throwing Shador Sanders' name out there with Caleb Williams? I mean, maybe you weren't, but you know what the hype train was doing. Shador Sanders' name was right there along with Caleb Williams. So I'm not so sure that waiting on the game, like tanking next year would be good in many ways, but I'd rather get your quarterback now. Get your Bo Nix now, or whatever that looks like. And trust me, you get me excited with the Jaden Daniels stuff. You compare him to Lamar Jackson, sign me up. Where do I sign? So I'd rather get that guy now at 12, keep Jarrett Stidham. Perhaps you do an old-fashioned quarterback competition in the offseason, and then maybe you give the job to Jarrett Stidham, and you let a Jaden Daniels, a Bo Nix, whatever, stand behind Jarrett Stidham for the first 7, 8, 9 weeks, and you do kind of what the Broncos did with Drew Lock, but you don't screw it up. You actually keep your people. Keep the people that he's getting drafted by, that he's learning by in his rookie year, and then keep them for his sophomore year. Tank or not, I don't care how bad you are, no firings.
I'm just looking back here through the list of quarterbacks that were drafted, and I look at really the 2020 and the 2021 classes. 2020, you had Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts early in the second round. Those are your top five guys. A year later, it was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. All five in the first round.
All busts save for Trevor Lawrence so far at this stage.
So I think I get wary of a quarterback class that's 5, 6 deep, and you're projecting all of those guys to go in the first round, maybe probably only 3 or 4.
So you think those drafts where it's like 2 or 3 guys that are really rising up because they're so good that they've separated themselves, obviously, from everybody else. You like that better than 5 or 6 guys that are pretty darn good and maybe, I mean, again, most people are going to say Caleb Williams better shot of working out than Bo Nix, but some people could look at that and say, well, Bo Nix, in the right situation, he could be the guy. He could turn out to be okay. So you kind of like it where it's quantity not or quality over quantity.
It feels like it just almost skips a year. Like, you go from 21 to the five I just listed for 21 to 22, it was Kenny Pickett. He was the only first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year you had Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson were your top three.
And again, so far, you can't call him bust yet, but C.J.'s the only one that's worked out.
No, Anthony was hurt. Bryce has a terrible organization.
Yep. So that one is yet to be seen. So I like... So you would rather, if you had that 12th pick and you were in need of a quarterback, like the Broncos situation is telling us, you are a little bit gun shy of any guy outside of maybe the top one or two guy, which would be Caleb Williams and probably Drake May at this stage.
Mm-hmm. I would see how the board falls. I wouldn't move up or down. I'd stay right at 12. If the board falls your way and you like your guy there, do it. If not, get an edge position. Then if you really do want a quarterback, trade up into the second round and try to go out and go aggressively after a guy.
Well, Bo Nix, it depends on which mock draft you look at. There are plenty of mock drafts that have him going in the 20s.
And if you're content with taking a quarterback in the late first, early second, do you bargain that first round pick next year?
You
to say, hey, we're going to do it anyway. Let's just do it here.
and set up for the tank?
No, I mean, you go get your quarterback late first, early second.
Yeah, no, and then you put him as a backup. Mm-hmm. I'm of the mindset that outside of Caleb Williams, maybe Drake May, it's almost like a 60-70% chance that that guy is going to be a backup quarterback.
I don't know if Broncos fans would be as opposed to a move like if you went edge rusher instead of quarterback as much as they were with the Bradley Chubb, Josh Allen thing. I don't know if there's Allen in this draft.
Yeah, unless they were at 5.
Right.
And Caleb Williams or Drake May was there. Mm-hmm. And then they did it again. I think there would be a riot from Broncos country.
Yeah,
but
I think Williams may go early. And then I think it's a matter of who wants to bite the bullet and take Jaden Daniels / Michael Penix.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, to be fair with Elway, there were knocks on Josh Allen. It wasn't like he was this perfect prospect coming out of college. He was considered extremely tough, big dude, mobile, played in the Mountain West, which, sorry, but that hurts you. Didn't throw as much as we see him throwing in the NFL now. You see Wyoming's offense. You see what Craig Bull's offense. That was the offense. So that there was a knock there. And then you look at this draft. Outside of Caleb Williams and Drake May, because there's not a lot of big negatives on those two guys. Caleb Williams cries, and he wants to be part owner. Well, crying we can deal with. We're dealing with Taylor Swift, for crying out loud. We can deal with crying, and that's illegal for the player to get that. So those two are not issues. Drake May, what's the issue there? Like you said, maybe there's nothing that explodes on the tape. Like Caleb Williams does?
I haven't watched a ton of Drake May.
So I watched maybe
really
three
have
games.
No negative or overly positive thoughts about it. I think I go from what the media says, and they say he's good, so he must be good.
A lot of the comparisons, when you just kind of look at different comparisons and his draft profile, there's not a lot of those negatives for him. Jaden Daniels, you can look at that. Can he be? You said, could he be comparable to Lamar Jackson? Well, Lamar certainly had knocks when he came out. The reason he went to 31 was because, okay, you're the best athlete on the field, but can you consistently throw? Because running quarterbacks don't survive long in this league. We've seen it too long. So that's going to be a knock on him. Michael Penix Jr., the injuries, number one, the national championship game. What happened when he was under a lot of pressure? That's going to happen. There are knocks there.
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty.
You have the offensive line to support that type of switch.
And your right tackle, current right tackle, his weakness is pass blocking, pass protection. So there's some negatives there. Bo Nix, he feels a lot like he's like a Baker, not quite a Baker Mayfield. And Baker went number one. Mm-hmm. And I think Cleveland would tell you, yeah, that was a mistake to go number one there. And whoever ended up drafting him. Baker's turned out to be a good quarterback, but it took a lot of ups and downs for him. His rookie year was all right, wasn't it? And it was his second year, I think, he was pretty good.
Yeah, it was one of his first 2 years that they went back to the playoffs.
His first two, he was really good. And then
third year wasn't as good. Then I think they missed the playoffs, and then it was like, okay, we're not re-signing him. And it was like, why are you not re-signing him?
And then
the best quarterback you've had.
And then it was all the Deshaun Watson stuff.
Yes.
But if Cleveland had it to do over again, they wouldn't take, I don't think any team would take Baker Mayfield. And Bo Nix, it probably kind of liked that guy.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking back on it. I never thought Baker was the number one guy that year.
I knew they were going to go with him because that's what Cleveland does. They did it with Johnny Manziel as well. They go with the shiny object in that situation.
When you had, it was Baker, Sam Darnold at number 3, Josh Allen at 7, then Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson. Rosen, I don't even know what he's doing.
I think he's a salesman at Kaiser Permanente.
Wow.
Or something at this stage.
Sam Darnold is, I don't know where he is,
well,
but he's...
He's
potential.
NFL guys are claiming that he had quarterback rehab because he's San Francisco.
Yeah, okay, yes.
And so he's got this quarterback rehab that he's better now. Maybe not, but that's a name that's coming up with the Broncos right now. And I'm done with that. I don't want to go there. But I'd rather take the chance on a young guy that you can hope to develop than take a chance on an older guy with the same problem. a chance to develop. It's honestly, it's an obvious, it's a no-brainer here. Young guy with a high ceiling, very high ceiling, or a guy that's been in the league 3, 4, 5 years with question mark, does he have any more ceiling left? And so that's where I'm going with this poll question today, so I want to get your thoughts on it. Boy, Angel, last night was rough. Did anybody want to play basketball other than Nikola Jokic last night? 122-84 to the Knicks.
Didn't look like it, and Jokic was out there with one eyeball.
He gets poked in the eye, goes out with like 5 minutes left in the second. Testament to him for coming back. I mean, it's the game's not going well. I think they were down close to 20 at the half or something like that, maybe 17.
Yeah, they were not good early on. I know Aaron Gordon said they came out flat. It just didn't look good. It took them too long to find any rhythm whatsoever. And
couldn't make stops.
Credit to New York. They shot the lights out in that first quarter.
Bottom line, if we want to get real here, if the Nuggets starters aren't playing at a high level, which that is still a tall task, that's a big ask. Because every night when you watch a certain team, not all five of the starters are shining. That's not how it always works. For the Nuggets, all five starters need to be in the positive, need to be good, because the bench, as much as I like the growth of Peyton Watson, and I think he's going to become a player. Reggie Jackson has his moments for sure, but the bench, we're in about the same spot as we were last year. So then you cross your fingers going into the playoffs and you go, does Peyton Watson turn into, does he give you the production of a Bruce Brown in the playoffs, and can Christian Brown pick his game back up in the play? Christian Brown has been a non-factor this year. I think we can all fairly say that.
Yeah, he's
safely say that.
Other when I'm actually watching the game and I see him on the floor, I don't really think of him.
He doesn't have a thing. There's no thing. He's not a high energy guy. So I am concerned, even though it's been a good month for this team. Those kind of games knock you back. And then you can say, okay, do you crinkle it up and throw it away? Or do you look at that and go, that's what happens if Jamal MPJ, who looked like he would rather be in Tahiti yesterday or last night, Aaron Gordon and KCP, if those guys are not on the right page, then this team gets blown out. And again, you say, well, that's not going to happen very often. Maybe.
New York's not a bad team.
New York's a playoff team. That's a playoff team, right?
I mean, after last night, I'd consider them probably, they're right behind Boston and Philly and Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're like fourth right now.
They were fifth going into last night.
So okay.
They're right there. And they got a lot of talent with Brunson and Julius Randle and Ojanobu, who they just got.
Yeah. No, that's a good basketball team. But Denver had no business losing like that. Had they just lost, even a 10-point game, all right, it's the end of this road trip. It's been a long road trip for you. Obviously, Joker's gone through some personal stuff with the assistant Golden State Warriors head coach passing away. Okay, it's been a long road trip. But you can't lose like that. Does that mean the end of the world for the Nuggets? No, but they have to take a long look in the mirror and still say, if our five are not playing at a very high level, we cannot rely on our bench to pick up the slack like they did in the playoffs. They went three deep in the playoffs with Green, Brown, and Brown, and it worked. Can you really run that back again, saying Reggie Jackson, Peyton Watson, and Christian Brown? At this stage, you're going to run it back with those three guys filling in for what you saw last year. And Jeff Green wasn't even like a big part of that. He was just in the rotation. Mm-hmm. He had his moments, like very few. So we're going to talk about that in the buy or sell a little bit later on. Do you buy or sell that the Nuggets should make a significant trade? I'm not talking about trading a second round pick for a Thomas Bryant type guy or whatever. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking a significant trade that would involve perhaps a starter or a key bench guy, Peyton Watson, for some. Well, that would be the only. Think of the value that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, what value do you have if you want to make a key trade? And I'm talking key trade. Where's the value? If Toronto calls and says, we'll give you Bruce Brown, we're paying his first year, it'll work within the salary cap or whatever, I just hypothetically, but I want value. What value can you give me? Christian Brown, his value, his stock has plummeted.
It's either MPJ or Peyton Watson.
Exactly. Because Julian Strother hasn't played since 1947.
No, and I think they really like him.
I think they do too. But that's what you're talking about. Because MPJ last night, that was when he's off, he's just off. Like there's just, he looked like he was out. Just, he was sitting at the end of the bench a few times and just not interested in being involved. And it's not all on him. Jamal was, everything he was shooting, he was just missing. He was still staying aggressive. But I have my concerns. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, what is it, his sixth All-Star game now, Nikola Jokic, and his fourth as a starter? Surprise, surprise. Duh. Joker's great. He's ridiculous. He had a monster night again last night. He was the only guy producing. 31 points for him, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Well, you know why you don't have assists? Because nobody's making shots. That's how it goes. Gets poked in the eye. He's a pirate out there. And he still came out and scored 31 points. Congratulations to him again. Well deserved. I want to get into the All-Star thing, too. Because that's... LeBron's a captain, but he's not a starter. What is he, like the guest referee or something like that?
Special appearance.
He's getting something. The bad for me, I'm going to go with Nuggets bench. This is all Nuggets related, by the way. Nuggets bench. Your best guy was Peyton Watson, and he had 7 points, but he was hesitant. He was 0 for 4 from three-point range, which I'm not expecting him to be a killer from the three-point line, but he was just hesitant. You know, you get the ball wide open, and he just a slight hesitation is all it takes, and then you get a defender up at you and contest the shot. Didn't like that. The ugly for me was, this is how you round out your road trip, 122-84, and it doesn't get any easier. Just because you're coming home, doesn't get any easier. You got Philadelphia tomorrow afternoon. So there you go. Good, bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple, 11:33 the time. Let's get a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Podcasts. We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310kfka.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
AFC NFC Championship coming up this weekend. Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs, Detroit Lions, and the San Francisco 49ers. We have the picks coming up, Angel. Impressive or unimpressive? 6-4 against the spread. Making you think.
About 500.
Yep.
It's winning a big record. Weekend. You could either strengthen that lead or you're right at 500.
You're right at 500, and the Super Bowl will be the end-all be-all. Of about 500, whether I go 500 in the playoffs or not. Ooh. It's big. It's big.
Go 1-1 and be like 7-5.
Yeah. So. I take that. I take one. I mean, I'm going for perfection here. What? Where did Tanner go? Tanner took San Francisco. Probably.
I think so.
Tanner took San Francisco. Yeah, did he take him to cover? He told
me. No, he took Detroit to cover.
He did?
I think because it was like 7.5.
Oh, I thought he told me this morning that. He thought both games were going to be
blowouts. Before or after the wine?
Yeah, that's true. He did have the wine in the wine review. I did, too. They asked me to do that, by the way. And I mean, you know that. You were producing. I know nothing about that kind of thing.
You seem to like the elderberries.
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff because it's, I mean, wine
medieval.
Is... Yeah, well, heck yeah, dude. You know me.
Made it in a cauldron.
Yes. That's the best kind of stuff. I don't even care about the ingredients. But they asked me to do that, and I'm like, I'm the worst person to review things. I told you about my meeting the other day, and they're like comparing something about life, and they're like, think about, they use this for a little anecdote and a story. Think about the best food you've ever had, like the best food. If you could have one last meal, and I'm like, I don't think like that. I mean, I guess a hamburger, a cheeseburger? And people look at me like, okay, this isn't really going to work.
What am I in the mood for?
But people will, a lot of people will pick like filet mignon or steak or some kind of sushi.
I've had a good steak before. I had a really good burrito yesterday. So,
I mean, that's the thing with me. Like, I'm not a reviewer. I can spend $1 at McDonald's for a double cheeseburger, and it can taste just as good as the $50 steak.
I've been doing the double cheeseburgers lately.
Those are good, dude.
It's like, it's the good amount of cheese to meat ratio.
The cheese to meat ratio is where it's at.
Quarter pounder's just, it's not enough.
A little too greasy on the quarter pounder.
Yeah.
I don't know why. The double cheeseburgers, the little ones they do, they're not that greasy.
Perfect.
But see, that's like my review, fast food and stuff like that. But reviewing wine, I don't drink wine.
Is it the vocabulary that stumps you? Or
vocabulary. Just, describe what you're tasting. Like, I'm not good at that.
Taste like wine.
I don't have a sophisticated palate.
There you go.
I don't have that.
You're almost there.
Like, I like beer, and there's certain beers that I can't stand, and I just don't like the taste. Can't really get into it.
You guys, was it like orangey?
It was kind of orangey.
A little citrusy?
Yeah. It wasn't bad. Like, if you like wine, I could see you buying a bottle of that.
I'm okay with citrus, but too much citrus, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's just not my thing.
And like the stuffed cherries or whatever.
The peppers. Those were delicious. A little cheese in there.
You just kept passing the thing like, Tanner, take
one. I was just going to sit there and snack on them like Cheetos, man. They were delicious. So, yeah, they had me doing that today, and that was interesting. It was very interesting. Going to Cable's Pub and Grill after this today. Uh-huh. Got a meeting with our guy, the voice of the Colorado Rockies, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies, Jerry Schimmer.
I heard about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This meeting with Jerry.
Meeting with Jerry. I don't even know what to expect.
He seemed excited.
I'm nervous, even though we're friends, but it's just a meeting. It's like, hey, can we meet? Can we talk? What's going on? So, very excited about that.
He sounded optimistic about it this morning.
Who knows?
Maybe the Todd Helton thing is
maybe he's got
positive
some
mojo.
Juicy trade rumor stuff about the Rockies for
insider
us.
Insider information.
Maybe so.
Here's this pitcher you got to look out for. He's number 7 on the rotation.
Tanner will be like, what? Oh, my God. 8 years. Watch out. He's going to be good.
It's going to 2033 is the goal.
That's going to be the year. That's my problem with baseball. And it's just that it's a sport that just lends itself to that, I guess, is that prospects take several years to do anything. Here I am talking about I'm pleading with Broncos country to draft a quarterback and then rest and just bench him for a year. And that's like a push. No, we want to see it now. Baseball's like, we got this prospect you're going to love, but you will forget about him by the time he makes his first start.
You know, if you ever play MLB The Show on PlayStation, it's like, okay, I'm the number 3 pick. I'm going to be in AA, AAA for 2 years.
Battle your way up.
By the time I get to my team, they're not even a good team anymore.
Why is baseball like that and no other sports typically like that?
I think that there's less positions, but there's less positions in football and hockey. Basketball, you have your 8-9 deep on your bench and whatever. Baseball, it's like you got to have your 9 guys that are going to be your everyday guys.
Well, and you're playing every single day, so you
wear and tear on the body.
You got to be very consistent. Consistency is king in baseball.
6-7 guys in the bullpen that are all lefties and righties and hybrids and backhanders, fronthanders, whatever. You got to have all of them.
You got to have the backhanders.
You never know what's going to happen. You got to strategize. Oh, they're bringing in this guy off the bench. We bring in a lefty.
Yeah, it's a listen, and I know I joke with Tanner a lot, but I do enjoy the sport, but it's way different as far as prospects going forward. 11:43 the time. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
This is why I love the NFL so much. And again, I like this with all sports, but you got to admit, the NFL creates the best storylines. I mean, you have some really intriguing storylines wherever you want to look. Matchups, quarterbacks, head coaches, all of that. And I think that this is a very interesting crossroads for some of these teams. Like Lamar Jackson, for example, if he doesn't win this weekend and doesn't get into the Super Bowl, does that mean his legacy is tarnished? No, it just means another year has gone by where he hasn't proven that he does belong in the elite conversation. But Lamar, you know, it all began. You know, he's taken it 31. Baltimore trades out of the second to move into the first round to get him. They really wanted him. That was a big risk because you're going from Flacco to Lamar. That's a complete changeover. But Lamar Jackson was with Primetime that night. Primetime was working for NFL Network. And he was perhaps doing a little foreshadowing there, a little prediction for us.
What could you have done differently that you could have gotten out of that room quicker and got drafted earlier in your career?
Nothing. I'm happy to be a Raven. It don't even matter.
Yesterday does not matter. You're looking forward to today.
I'm looking forward to being a Raven.
What are they getting?
Everything out of me. They're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that.
You know, chills, Angel. Some chills there.
The Dion?
No.
This is a pretty good question.
It was weird, though, with Primetime in that instance, because he's not the cock. I mean, yeah, he's entertaining, but he's not like, I don't own this room right now.
He sounded a little professional.
I'm interviewing you. You own this room right now, not me. That's a different Dion than that Primetime that we know. Lamar was interesting, though, because that a lot of gambles in his career. The way he plays is a gamble. Baltimore had Joe Flacco as their quarterback. The least running type quarterback that you can get. And for them to move out of the second and trade up into the first to go grab Lamar Jackson at 31 meant whenever we're ready to move on from Flacco, we are changing our complete style. Everything about it. So that's a gamble.
Well, they did it for 3-4 years and then they decided, hey, we need to change the offense.
Well, how long? Yeah. When did Lamar get his first start? Was it his rookie year?
It would have been late.
It was kind of like the Drew Lock thing.
Did he play that playoff game against the Chargers late in the year?
I don't think so. I thought Flacco had struggled, and then they put Lamar in, and then it was like, wow, we're actually doing something here. But that, I mean, his whole career, the way he plays, you know, teams didn't want to chance it because he was primarily a running quarterback that can throw, but running was his first option.
November 2018 against the Bengals.
And they didn't make the playoffs. Did they make the playoffs that year? They didn't make the playoffs that year, did they? I thought that they were. That was the end of the era for Joe Flacco and company.
He became the youngest quarterback to start an NFL playoff game in a wild card rematch against the Chargers.
So he got him into the playoffs his rookie year.
Yeah, kind of.
Because Flacco was done.
Flacco
at that
was
state.
Hurt late in that year.
Right, and then they never went back. Right, because he was out. Was he out for the season? Flacco was. Man, that season is a blur to me.
Yeah, he got his first start against the Bengals after Joe Flacco was dealing with an injury. It was like he finished out that season, but the wild card game he was held to just 25 passing yards at one point in the fourth quarter.
And so there you were wondering, yikes.
And then he had 2 touchdown passes in the last 4 minutes. But he was strip-sacked with a chance to win the game by the Chargers, who recovered the ball and won 23-17.
And so you're wondering as a fan, as a Baltimore fan, is this really the trajectory we want to go here? And then he had his moments after that, getting into the playoffs, and he was an MVP.
And then the MVP that next season.
Next season, he just kind of lit it up.
After they changed their offense completely.
And then the next year, he was good, not great, and they lost in the playoffs. And then this last year was his fourth year, wasn't it? And he got hurt, and they, you know.
Yeah, they exercised his fifth year option. This was during the, this was the season after the COVID year. And then last year, played on his fifth-year deal, got the contract extension this past offseason.
He got hurt in the Broncos game last year. All right, but Lamar's got a great story. It's a lot of fun, and, you know, we'll get into more of that later. I know we got a break here. 11:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We got top story of the day coming up. Get into some of the details of that at noon. Also, more on the AFC and NFC championship game. Can the Lions do what I think a lot of people are rooting for them to do, but deep down, a lot of people don't believe that they can do it? Dan Campbell has a large fan base. He has created a very large fan base, and Detroit just loves him.
It's a weird thing, and you look at the progression of an NFL team. It's like you miss the playoffs one year, and the next year you're already in the NFC Championship game. It's like, oh, maybe we took too big of a next step.
Yeah, this is too big of a step. Can we handle it? That's the question. But the Lions fans have embraced this whole thing, and Dan Campbell has embraced it. He did a spiel the other day that I got goosebumps from, man, where he's talking about the players on this team represent the city. They truly love Detroit. It's blue-collar community. It's work hard. It's all this stuff. Like, he's going into details on it. And you can see why the fan base is eating that up. That's the kind of coach that can change the culture of what you're doing. And I love that kind of stuff. But we have Sean Payton. He's not short of inspiration speeches. You've heard his inspirational speeches. You know, they're great. Everybody sucks but me. Top story of the day, coming up next.